Hello and welcome to the Gambler Betting Podcast. I'm SelectaBet and I'm joined by Greg and David for a double header podcast this week where we'll head to fixtures in Scotland and we'll take a wee whistle stop tour of the games in Norway. How's it going, guys?
Going well, thank you.
Yeah, good, thank you, good. Like us to do a Wednesday night podcast, but needs must.
We are a wee bit pressed for time this week, hence why we're cramming both Scotland and Norway into the one podcast. We'll try and keep it fairly brief. David, we've had our first week of action in Norway, which we'll speak about soon. I guess there's plenty for you to update us on later in the podcast.
Yeah, and it's the transfer window shuts tonight as well, so...
You're still available, David. You're still free.
Put myself out there. Nobody can get in touch with me though because of Twitter. So
Leave your phone on though, will you? And Greg, we've obviously got a few bets lined up for Scotland this weekend as well. We'll try and take a quick run through the four divisions, focusing on one or two games as we go.
Yeah, it's getting really exciting now across all four divisions. Not so much in League One, with obviously Falkirk way ahead, winning the championship at the weekend. So well done to Falkirk, 19 points clear. Stenhousemuir in a similar position, but there's still lots to play for in terms of the Premiership title, top six, European places, relegation playoff spots. So yeah, it's going to be a fascinating 7 or 8 weeks.
Yeah, we're only two games away, three for Dundee from the top six as well, which is probably one of the more exciting outstanding issues that's still to be resolved in the next couple of weeks. We've got, obviously, the Celtic are at Ibrox on Sunday, which is match of the weekend. That will have a huge say in where the title ends up this season. We'll get to that pretty soon as well. But let's have a look at Saturday's games. Greg, we're going to kind of skip over a couple of them this weekend because we don't really have any great opinions either way. First one being Dundee v Motherwell.
Yeah, I think it's a very tough game to call. Dundee 7-5, Motherwell 19-10. Dundee, I must admit, and this is not sour grapes, I don't think they were great against us last week. It's probably the poorest they've been in their three games, but it's a good sign of a good team, I guess. They're picking up points when they're not playing well. So a big 3 points for them last week, which takes them back into the top six. And it's in their hands now. They can secure top six. Possibly this weekend, depending on how results go between Dundee and Motherwell and Hibs at home to St Johnstone. So be interesting to see this game pans out. Motherwell are a bit hit or miss for me. Obviously, they won at Ibrox a few weeks ago, 2-1, which is a massive shock. But they're only 6 points clear of Ross County, who are in the relegation playoff spot. So I think it'll be a tight game, but there's no real angles here for me in this match.
Yeah, and similarly, St Mirren v Hearts, David, we had Div McDonald on our WhatsApp chat, who'd been doing a bit of maths. He had figured out.
As well.
It was
man
excellent.
From Paisley doing maths. I was
Mirren. Man from Mirren. private
joke there, but yeah.
Sorry.
I think he'd seen a price of 22-1 for St Mirren not to make the top six, but he'd actually calculated the permutations that would be required for St Mirren not to make the top six actually pay in the region of 100-1. So St Mirren are at home to Hearts this weekend. Hearts just really seem to be ambling along a wee bit in third, don't they? Not sure I'd like to call how this one's going to go.
Yeah, it seems like they've kind of got that third place kind of secured and just decided that they've taken their foot off the gas or something, but obviously a bad result at County a couple of weeks ago, only joined at home at Kelly. So it's just one win in the last five, and St Mirren, obviously, yeah, a draw. Not quite confirm it 100%, but a draw would pretty much do it for St Mirren. I think you'd fancy them at home, maybe to get something against Hearts this weekend. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, this is a massive game for St Mirren. What an opportunity they've got to, one, secure top six, which I think they'll do anyway, but there's a chance of European football in Paisley, which hasn't been seen since the 1980s, back in a time when Div had a decent head of hair. So, massive, massive game. 9-5 for St Mirren. As David said, Hearts have taken the foot off the gas a little bit. But what an opportunity. Just given the fact as well that obviously Aberdeen and Hibs have had pretty poor seasons, there's not going to be a better chance for European football in Paisley than this season.
Yeah, because not a lot.
And I hope they do it. I hope they do it.
Yeah, I hope so too. I hope so. Not a lot between the two sides in terms of betting. St Mirren 9-5, Hearts 8-5. So again, another one, Greg. Best left alone.
Yeah, regardless of time constraints on the podcast tonight, it would have been a no bet anyway, so yeah. Nothing else to add.
Yeah. Okay, we do have a couple of games where you have an interest, Greg. First one is your own team, St Johnstone, there at Easter Road on Saturday against the Hibernian side, who are 8-15 to win at home. Hibs still got their eye on that top six place. St Johnstone, I guess their remit for the rest of the season is just to keep their noses in front of Ross County.
Yeah, pretty much. I think obviously we know the rules when it comes to Hibs at home at such odds. However, I'm more than happy to back Hibs here. I think we weren't great again last weekend. Probably played a lot better than we have in a lot of matches this season. But I think the onus is really here on Hibs in a must win match. They really have to win this match. There's nothing else for it for them. 8-15 is probably about the right price, especially when you factor in our away record. Hibs have been improved at home as well, though, I would say, probably over the last month or so. They've beaten Dundee, Ross County, Livingston, and they've run both Glasgow clubs pretty close as well. So back at Easter Road, fully expecting Hibs to claim 3 points here. Nothing flash. This is one part of my double.
Yeah, we'll get to our part in a wee second. David Gregg paints this as a must-win for Hibs. I guess if they were to finish in the bottom half behind Dundee, then it would probably be considered a bit of a failure this season.
Yeah, I mean, financially, when you look at the clubs above them, St Mirren and Dundee, probably Kelly as well, it would be a failure to finish behind them. I don't think it would be a crisis for the manager. I don't think he would lose his job or anything. But yeah, I think this weekend, home at St Johnstone, like, if you can't win that to give yourself a chance of getting into the top six in the last weekend, then yeah, then you probably don't deserve to be there.
Deserve it. Absolutely. Okay,
I think you're right, David. I don't think it'd be any pressure on Montgomery, but I think it would be embarrassing for Hibs to finish in the bottom six this season. And there's every chance that could happen.
Yeah.
But I do think they'll get the points here. Just one quick note on the bookings market. Ryan McGowan is 11-4. He's probably bigger elsewhere. I've not had a chance to look yet, and I haven't seen any markets yet. He's picked up 4 cards in his last 7 games for St Johnstone. He was on 8 cards last season, and he's a former Jambo.
Former Hearts man, mate.
So just on recent kind of performances for him, he's been pretty solid for us this season. Mm-hmm. Ryan McGowan, he's had a pretty decent season. He likes to get stuck in, and I'm sure he will do again on Saturday, so just something to be mindful of.
Yeah, good shout. So you mentioned that was part of a double that you've got in the Premiership, Greg. The other game is at the Tony Macaroni. It's Aberdeen who are the visitors to Livingston, and a couple of wins for Aberdeen has been very timely. It's given them a wee bit of breathing space down near the bottom end of the table, hasn't it?
It has. It was a massive win last week at home to Ross County. I don't think Aberdeen played that well, but like the Motherwell match before that, they've managed to pick up 3 points. And it's moved them a little bit further away now from St Johnstone and Ross County for that relegation playoff spot. The bet here is going to be, obviously, will Aberdeen have a TIFO display on Saturday? That's probably even money. But there's no thrills here for me in this one. I haven't even gone for the Aberdeen win. Although I do think they will win. And that's not down to Aberdeen's ability to play swashbuckling football. This is based on Livingston having won just once in their last 23 matches. And that is why they'll be in the Championship next season. 3 wins in their 31 league games this season. It's no surprise they're 10 points adrift at the bottom. 11 if you include goal difference. If Aberdeen can't go there and pick up at least a point, then they should just kind of fold and just call it a day, I think. So, no thrills here. Hibs to win, and I'm expecting Aberdeen to go to Livingston and pick up at least a point. And that pays even money.
Yeah, you're not exactly trusting them there either, are you?
No.
No, which is fair enough. Livingston looking pretty doomed, David. 10 points adrift and no sign of picking things up between now and the end of the season.
Yeah, there was a period maybe about 6 weeks ago, maybe just at the turn of the year, where you thought there was a chance that they could catch 2 teams, if not just Ross County. But yeah, the last pretty much February and March is putting into that. They look dead and buried. I can't see. There's not a lot of fight the last couple of weeks, 2-3 nil defeats. I think Aberdeen, although I think the price is maybe just a touch short to touch the win, I think it looks decent that it is 11-10 on, 21-20 on Bet365 just now. You'll probably get 11-10 somewhere, I'd imagine. Probably one for a wee away ACCAs if you're having an away ACCA on Saturday.
Yeah, it's still hard to trust Aberdeen at those prices.
It's a little bit. But Livingston are poor.
Yeah. Okay, Greg, I don't have any notes for Kilmarnock Ross County, but I know you're quite keen to talk about this one. Kilmarnock 1-2 at home, where they've been terrific. And I guess as a St Johnston fan, you'll be hoping that Kilmarnock land those short odds.
Yeah, I can understand why they're short odds. I think when you see a team like Kilmarnock, and I say a team like Kilmarnock, because it's not often they're 1-2 at home against anyone. But I get it, they're having a great season, and Ross County are down at the bottom, struggling to stay up. However, this league isn't as straightforward as that. And I think the 6-1 on Ross County presents a bit of value for us on the corners market. Kilmarnock got a really good point last weekend at Tynecastle. A really great Marley Watkins finish. It's a cracking goal. Reminded me of a young David Weatherston last week, just cut inside and bent it into the top corner. So a pretty decent point for them at Hearts. And Ross County, I think they played okay last weekend at Aberdeen, racked up 8 corners. Before that, Ross County obviously picking up 4 points at home to Hearts and to Hibs to give them a great chance of staying up. But the big thing for me here is looking at Ross County corners. And I think that because I've got this massively wrong, Ross County are 8-15 over 2.5 corners, which for me is absolute banker material. Bearing in mind as well, Ross County have gone to Celtic Park this season twice and hit 8-7. They hit 8 at Aberdeen last week. They've hit 6 at Motherwell. They've actually hit over 3.5 corners in 11 of their 16 away games. And they've hit two or more in 13 of their 16 away games. So I'm more than happy to get on Ross County corners here. And there's a good chance that they could go behind. But I think with Simon Murray in really good form at the moment, they've got some good players, Ross County. I know it's been a tough season for them, but I think there's a bit of value in the Ross County corners this weekend.
Yeah, just touching on that.
And 6-5 it is for over 3.5.
Yeah, just touching on that, David, I think we probably expected a wee bit more from Ross County this season, given the potential firepower that they do have in that squad.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been a pretty poor season, and the strikers have only scored, or 29 goals they've only scored, but I think the defence has been probably the main issue. They've got 53 conceded, only Livingston worse with 55. So I think that's been the main issue for them. It's just that, just Derek Adams has just had a terrible time there, and then they've not been able to pick up since. So yeah, I think I think they could go to Killie and get a result, because Killie are obviously securing top five, but Killie obviously pushing for Europe. And yeah, their form at home is really good. So I do like Grace Corner angle. It seems like a decent shout.
Yeah.
It would be a surprise for me if Ross County picked up something from this game. And it's Kilmarnock can't pick up points in every match. And this is the sort of game they might be vulnerable in at such short odds. And obviously Ross County at 6-1. Just to back up the selection as well, Kilmarnock have shipped at least 3 corners this season in 13 of their 16 home games. So that 8-15 on 3 Ross County corners looks very strong. But the selection is going to be Ross County over 3.5 corners at 6-5.
Yeah. I think you've sold us on that one, Greg.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to Sunday. An absolutely huge game at the top of the table. It's Rangers v Celtic at Ibrox at midday. Rangers, if they win, they will go 2 points clear with a game in hand, but they would still have Celtic Park to go to before the end of the season. If Celtic win, they would go 4 points clear. Obviously, the Rangers, the game in hand against Dundee, but obviously Celtic would have a home match against Rangers. So, this one's going to have a massive impact on where the title ends up this season. David, Celtic have won both matches so far against each other. How do you see this one going on Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, Celtic have improved a lot in the last 6 weeks, maybe. I think the last time I was on a Scottish podcast, we were talking about Celtic not really getting going. They obviously lost that game to Hearts, but I think that 4-2 at home at Livy, 3-1 at home at St Johnstone, 3-0 away at Livy, obviously not difficult games, but they've made them look easy, which is something they've not really done too enough this season, I'd say. So yeah, obviously going to Ibrox, massive game. I think Celtic will take a draw. I think they'd be happy to go there and take a draw and know that if they win on the rest of their games for the season, including the home game against Rangers, that would be enough to win the league. So I wouldn't be surprised if they set up a little bit more on the counter than maybe what we're used to in kind of Old Firm games. So yeah, I think what we'll see is Rangers maybe dominating possession a little bit, and Celtic looking to hit them on the break. And I wouldn't be surprised if they manage to pull off a win. I think Rangers will be I think Rangers are going into this quite emotional, as it always is with the Old Firms, but then there's a lot of pressure on Rangers to win this, given that if they don't win it, it leaves Celtic in a position that they can just win the rest of the games to win the league.
Yeah, it's an interesting point. I think Rangers have gone into both games already this season, maybe not expecting to win, but certainly full of confidence that they could certainly win at Ibrox and then go to Celtic Park and get something. As it's transpired, Greg, Celtic have just proven too good for them over the course of the 90 minutes on each occasion.
Yeah, they have. I didn't realise how bad Rangers' record is against Celtic recently. You kind of think it's kind of toe for toe, win a game, lose a game, but if my maths are correct, Celtic have won 5 of the last 6 meetings between the sides in all competition, and I think Rangers have only won once in the last 11 meetings, which is pretty grim, to be fair. I didn't realise it was as bad as that. I'm going to disagree with you both, though, on this being a kind of, this is going to have a massive part to play in terms of where the Championship ends up. I don't think it will, because a couple of reasons. Number one, Rangers have got a game in hand, first of all. So a draw here for Rangers actually is a pretty good result for them, in my view. Game in hand as well, away to Dundee. So I think Rangers don't want to lose this, but I don't think a draw is a bad result. If they do lose this, obviously Celtic go 4 points clear. But Rangers, with that game in hand, and you'd expect them to beat Dundee, it takes it back to a point with, what, 5-6 games left to go? So I don't think anything's going to be decided on Sunday at midday. I think there's a lot of football still to be played, and there's lots of ways in which this can work out. But for Rangers, a draw is not a bad result for them. And at 6-5 at home, I'd rather back Rangers at home at 6-5 than Celtic away at 21-10.
Yeah, where I would agree with you, Greg, is that if Rangers don't win at the weekend, they can still take some heart in the fact that Celtic have actually dropped points against other teams in and around the league. You know, they've not dropped points against Rangers, so there might still be some hope that Celtic could be vulnerable in some.
I don't see both sides going into the top six split winning all. I know they can't both win all 5 games, but winning most of their matches, I think there's drop points to be there somewhere, especially obviously given the season Kilmarnock have had. Hearts obviously having a good season as well, so I think there's a lot of twists and turns still to be had. Just in terms of other markets for this match, Rangers have won the corner count at Ibrox now, I think, in the last five matches. Uh-huh. They're 5-6 to win the corner match bet on Sunday. They are 4-5 to hit 3 first half corners as well. So a couple of angles on that front. I'm not doing anything on the cards market. I think over 6.5 cards is 4-6. I think it'll be quite a tight game on Sunday. I don't see there being that many goals, to be fair. But obviously, I'm looking forward to watching it. But I think the corner match bet for Rangers at 5-6 kind of stands out.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure if Cal McGregor's been playing recently for Celtic.
He's not. He's been injured, but there is hope on the Celtic camp that he will be fit for the weekend.
If he's fit at the weekend, I think he's got to be your biggest shout for a card. The bookies don't agree. Having looked through the player card markets, there are 12 players who are under 2-1 for a card. there are actually five players under 65 to get put, which is terrible. So Cal McGregor's 15-8, and I'm very confident you can find a better price than that elsewhere.
Yeah.
Come Sunday. So I think Cal McGregor, if he starts, he's probably a good shout for a booking.
Yeah, don't disagree with that at all. Lots has been made, David, I don't know if you picked up on it from afar, about the appointment of John Beaton as the referee following a minor fallout.
Another Beaton? Sorry, I'm
following a minor public fallout with Brendan Rodgers a few weeks ago. So it'll be interesting to see how he handles the fixture on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he's done a few old firms with absolutely no controversy. So, I think there's always something going on with the refs, isn't there? They're always one way, yeah. One team or the other is one always complaining about them. Yeah. There'll be a penalty to one team, and the other team will say there's a big conspiracy, and it'll be.
Yeah, all and that's why we're glad it's not.
I'm glad it's not Nick Walsh in charge. I'm still having nightmares from that time he booked 18 players in the last 2 minutes. Last season. It still haunts me that.
Yeah, well, we'll see how it pans out, but yeah, it should be a fascinating game come Sunday. I think that angle on the Rangers corners probably is as good as any, Greg, if you want to sit on the fence as far as the result goes.
Yeah, I think so. I think given recent matches as well, big pitch at Ibrox, decent surface, home crowd behind them as well. So yeah, I think 5-6 is a fair price.
Yeah. Okay, let's have a look into the Championship. David, a massive win for the Dundee United last week at Raith Rovers. Puts them 4 points clear, albeit that they've played one game more. But they really need to kick on from here. And not the easiest of fixtures for them this week. They're away to Queen's Park.
Yeah, Queen's Park. They're tough to predict Queen's Park. Sometimes they look as if they're going to go on a wee run, but then they've not really got away from that relegation trouble just 100% yet. So obviously a big game for Queen's Park as well. I'm right in thinking that Dundee United lost all, like, both of the previous games to Raith? Is that right?
They've played four times now. They've lost twice and drawn once. Right, so that was their first win.
So that was a massive win. That was just when they needed it. I mean, obviously, the game in hand could put Raith one behind, but I just feel like that momentum now should be with Dundee United. If they go and win this weekend to back it up, I think it would put Raith in a really tough position. Who, Raith have been pretty inconsistent for the last since the turn of the year. Really, they've not really been able to keep up that form, which I think we kind of expected.
Mm-hmm. And Greg, I think my words last week were that Dundee United just haven't really been able to shake off Raith Rovers this season. And I've got in my notes that last week's win will mean nothing if they don't go and win at Queen's Park this weekend.
100%. I think this is a really tough game for United at Queen's Park. I know they lost disappointingly 2-0 at Morton last weekend, but this is not an easy match. The United price is a bit of a shambles, really, just above 1-2. But I do think now they've got their head in front, United. There's been that many changes in the league table this season between the two, in terms of who's top and who's clear, games in hand and all that sort of stuff. But I wouldn't be surprised to see further twists and turns in this league. However, I am hoping now that United have got that gap now over Raith. I know it's only 4 points, but with a better goal difference, even if Raith win their game in hand, it's down to 2 points.
Yeah.
And there's only five games left to go. So United are 1-5 now to win the league. Mm-hmm. And obviously, from my perspective, with Falkirk winning the League One, they are the second part of that post-double as well. So I was glad to see them win last week.
Yeah. Just in the Championship, I thought it was a couple of interesting prices, Greg. Would you have Airdrie at 17-10 and Morton at 13-10?
No, I think you're absolutely right. I think that's a bit disrespectful to Airdrie, who picked up another great win during the week away to Arbroath, a 2-1 victory. And that's obviously following their Challenge Cup victory against TNS as well. So I'm not sure how much it's going to take out of Airdrie, that game against Arbroath last night. I would have had these prices probably the other way about.
Yeah, agreed.
But the bookies getting very excited about Morton beating Queen's Park last week. and I've got a small inkling that maybe Airdrie might run out of steam a little bit. But we're not seeing any signs of that. but it's, I don't know what they are in terms of part-time, full-time, or if it's hybrid at Airdrie. I'm sure it's full-time, but I just think, can they sustain another five matches at this level? I don't know. But back to your point, sorry for rambling, it is the wrong price for Airdrie. Mm-hmm.
Another price that I think was questionable was potentially Dunfermline's price at home to Partick Thistle. And we've seen throughout the course of this season in the Championship, teams go on little runs of wins and without defeats. And Dunfermline seem to be in the midst of one of those at the moment. They seem to have found some form from somewhere, David. They've won three in a row. They're at home to Partick Thistle at the this weekend, who, albeit they've won three in a row as well, but they've been really inconsistent as the season has gone on. I just thought Dunfermline at 31-20 just felt a wee bit on the big side.
Yeah, I did think that myself. Obviously, they're pushing Airdrie all the way for that fourth spot. I think if they were kind of both 6-4, it would probably be a bit more realistic. Or yeah, it's probably a bit of a pick'em game that I'd probably be more inclined to look at goals in that one, just because Thistle enjoy goals so much.
I said that last week, David, it finished 1-0. So,
well, just on that note, I think Thistle have kept three clean sheets in a row.
Wow.
No, they've been remarkable. 2-1, but yeah, it's been tight. They've only conceded
one.
Oh,
was it 2-1? Was it not 2-0 against Morton?
2-1. There was a 94th minute goal for
Greg Morton. He must have left early.
He'd left the ground, yeah.
Are you sure?
Happy with his bet.
I thought Thistle beat Morton 2-0 at home a few weeks ago.
Was it Aaron Muirhead at Morton? Yeah, 94th minute.
Yeah. Oh, I must have left early. I think that's kind of put me off a little bit of goals, just in the fact that there's not been as many goals in Thistle's games. And the ploy is now about grinding out results. So I'm going to stay well clear of this match. I think the price... they're both around about 6-4, which I think is probably not that far off it, given Dunfermline's revival. I guess the key question is now, and I'm going to ask both of you, who is taking the final top four playoff spot between Airdrie, Dunfermline, Morton, and out of respect to Stuart Wilson, I'll also include Ayr because they've got a game in hand.
Can I tell you at 5 o'clock on Saturday?
No. I don't know. I couldn't pick one.
It's going to be difficult. I think Dunfermline probably just with the way they've played, but the last few weeks is probably favourites, isn't it?
I tell you what, if Dunfermline do sneak that fourth place, that will be a remarkable turnaround there, won't it?
I think the thing is, though, it probably doesn't matter. whoever it is, it's not going to get promoted to.
So we should just chuck it. Basically.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
I'm sure that would work. Okay, there's another two games in the Championship. Inverness v Arbroath, Raith Rovers v Ayr United. Greg, usually you've got some kind of inside track on Ayr United. Are you giving them a chance at Raith Rovers this weekend?
It's difficult because I know Ayr got a good result last week at home to Airdrie, but they do have a lot of injuries at the moment, Ayr. And away from home, they've been fairly decent on the roads this season there. I don't think it 16-5 really pulls me in too much. I think this is obviously must win. It's must win for both sides. But back at home, you'd expect Raith to do the business. I think goals here is probably my angle I would go for here. There's usually goals in the Ayr's away matches. Dowds is having a pretty good season for them as well. But they are missing a few players here. They're not at full strength at all. And this is a must-win for Raith. So I think Raith are a bit short at 8-13 as well. So I think for me, if I was picking a bet from this match, it would be over 2.5 goals at, I think, 10-11.
Yeah. Anything catching your eye in the Championship, David?
No, I've mentally moved on to League One.
Okay.
Just before we move on to League One, sorry, Inverness at 1-2. Very, very short. Yeah. Inverness haven't won at home in 9.
Worryingly short.
Arbroath are doomed though, so you might find people might take the risk on Inverness getting 3 points against a team that's effectively relegated. Wouldn't be my money, but yeah, 1-2 for Inverness is a bit short.
Yeah,
but I understand why.
Okay, let's move on to League One, and it's taken us a long time before we can say congratulations to Falkirk, Greg.
It's taken 5 years.
Yes.
But tell you what, though, what a result last weekend away to Montrose. Yeah. To go up there, was it 7-1?
Yeah.
What was the final? Yeah. So, pretty phenomenal score, given the league's over, and it has been for some time. It was a bit of a party night, wasn't it, for Falkirk to go up there, score 7 goals. I think they took 2,500 fans up to Montrose on Saturday night. So, great result for them. But they're back at home now. Have they overindulged in the partying?
Hmm.
David, does that happen?
I don't know, mate. I've never won the league.
I know that, but you must know somebody that's won the league. One of your pals must have won a league down here.
It absolutely does happen. I've played
because
against
they're 4-9, right? They've got nothing to play for.
And there's some tired faces, I'd imagine.
I just think Cove... I'm not suggesting Cove 4-1 to win, but I think maybe there's an angle here somewhere. It's maybe something I'll share on the channel. I definitely could be back in Falkirk at 4-9. I don't see any reason why anyone... I guess my advice would be to the UK and the world betting population is to not even bother touching Falkirk at 4-9.
No, absolutely.
There's no need to. No.
Absolutely. I think the thing is, we touched on this a few weeks ago, Greg, that unbeaten run, the opportunity to go through the whole league season unbeaten, will keep Falkirk honest between now and the end of the season as long as that run is still in play.
After a 5-day hangover, I'm not convinced.
Well, yeah. That maybe says more about you than the professional footballers at Falkirk, though.
Well, there's plenty of photographs on social media of Falkirk fans enjoying themselves, and rightly so.
Yeah, indeed, they've been waiting for long enough. So, but I think we're all in agreement that at 4-9 are probably best left alone. I don't have too many notes in League One, Greg. Have you got anything?
Edinburgh City scored again at the weekend, which really annoyed me.
Beat me to it.
On you go, David. You crack.
Yeah,
on.
No, Edinburgh City are at home to a struggling Montrose team. Montrose obviously lost 7-1 at Falkirk. They lost the week before that to Stirling Albion. And Edinburgh City, who have scored at Kelty, they've scored at Falkirk, scored at home at Alloa, and in the last three, and it's 6-5, both teams to score at Edinburgh on the weekend. I would not be surprised if that came in.
Yeah, you're 11-10 just on Edinburgh to score.
Yeah. I think that's backable this week. We've missed out the last couple of weeks by not backing it, but I think Edinburgh City start games pretty well. What I'm noticing is, and I'm still fuming with Alloa a few weeks ago, who ended up running out 4-2 winners. They were 2-1 up in that
Maybe
match.
Maybe really early that game. As well.
I must have been. And they were 2-1 up at half time, Edinburgh City. So I think for here, 11-10 at home, they maybe are just struggling towards the later stages of matches. Maybe in terms of fitness, I don't know, but they're 12-1 here, and 11-10 to score. So I think there's definitely an angle here on Edinburgh City to score.
So if you want to combine those little nuggets of knowledge, Greg, they are 11-4 to score a first half goal.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. Which might be lovely. A nice wee price for us on Saturday. Okay. Anything catching your eye in League One, David?
Nah, it was just that. Edinburgh City shout. And I agree with Greg. Avoid Falkirk at all costs. There's absolutely no point. They could have been drinking all week. They could have been super professional, but it doesn't matter because we don't know. And it's best to just leave it.
Yeah.
Just okay. One note. A side that have really been a side of my thorn in my side this year is Queen of the South. Haven't really touched them at all since about Christmas time because they've been absolutely dire. But there might be a bit of light at the end of the tunnel for them. They beat Alloa, surprisingly, 2 weeks ago, 2-0. And they've then gone to Hamilton and drawn 0-0. They're at home to Kelty Hearts on Saturday, evens. And that win would really help them stay up, I think, in that battle with Annan. I don't think I'm brave enough to back it, just because I can't handle the grief and the annoyance of them doing me again. But out of the other games in that league, that's probably another maybe angle to look at.
Okay. We're already behind schedule, guys. We're about 5 minutes beyond our plan 30 minutes on Scottish football. So let's rattle through League Two, please. And I guess the interesting outstanding issue, Greg, is down at the bottom of the table. Bonnyrigg and Stranraer both drew last week, is that right? leaving the door, leaving the door still open for Clyde to make a great escape. They are at home to Stranraer this weekend, Greg.
Well, it's the biggest game of the season for these two. It really is a 6-point relegation bonanza. I'm sure there was bother with fans in this match last time these two played. Then it's Stranraer. There was police involved. There was a bit of a riot after the match. I think there'll be bookings in this match. Sadly, no bookings available. The last time I checked at McBookie, there might be some now. But yeah, this is a huge, huge game. I am backing Clyde to take the points. A couple of reasons. Number one, they're at home. Their home form has been pretty good, I would say. They've only lost one of their last seven. So a team that's sitting bottom of the league, they've only lost one of their last seven home games. And that includes a win against Dumbarton, and they've drawn against two other sides going for promotion. Second place Peterhead and fifth place Spartans. Then you factor into the fact that Stranraer haven't beaten Clyde away from home in 14 games. Then to add into the mix to that, Stranraer's away form, oh my goodness, it's grim. I think an opening day victory, they've only won one of 15 away games, and they've not won in 14 away matches this season, Stranraer. The good thing for Clyde, I think, is this has obviously been played at New Douglas Park at Hamilton, where they're downshooting at the moment. Yep. So we don't have to worry about a really boggy, heavy pitch like Bonnyrigg and Stranraer have. Mm-hmm. It's a good surface. Well, it's a good surface. It's flat. It's a flat surface. And that might suit Clyde at home. That's maybe why they're picking up more points at home. I just think, given the prices, 23-20, it's a really tough game to call, but I'm going to stick my neck out here and I'm going to take Clyde to edge this.
You're scraping the barrel and you're describing the best aspect of a pitch is that it's flat.
The only one I could find to describe it. It's not a great surface, but it's a plastic pitch.
Hey, but it's flat. Okay, so Clyde are 23-20, Greg, or they were 23-20?
Yeah, 23-20.
On Bet365 now, but the evens on Bet365 now. I quite like the look of East Fife this weekend. 5 wins out of 7. Pushing for that playoff, making a late push for the playoffs. Stenny pretty much guaranteed to win the league. Kind of chucked it, not 1-4. 4 draws in a row. East Fife are 4.5 in new money, whatever that is in old money. Can't work it out in my head. 72? Nah, 92?
No.
72.
What decimal did
4.5.
4.5, yeah,
7-2. East Fife. Yeah, going in really good form against a Stenny team who have kind of strolling towards a title and not really running over the line like Falkirk. So yeah, I wouldn't put anyone off that East Fife price or even double chance. Double chance is maybe the better way to go. Or draw no bets 3.5 or double chance is 1.95. So yeah, just 19-20 for your draw East Fife.
I don't think you'll get any disagreement from you, Greg.
Well, no, absolutely not. As I've tipped East Fife double chance. Oh, well, there exactly. Exactly as David said. I think I posted it earlier today. Yesterday I posted it, sorry. They were 65 at Skybet, East Fife double chance. And as David said, Stenny are taking their foot right off the gas in League Two. But under Dick Campbell, East Fife, unbeaten in 8, 5 wins, 3 draws. They've actually still got an outside chance of making the playoffs. And I say outside chance, they're still a good few points behind Spartans, I think. So, but I think East Fife getting that double chance odds against is definitely worth taking. And I definitely agree with David. It's probably a standout, I think, in League Two this week. Steady drawing quite a lot of games.
4-0.
And they've only won 1-8. Stenhousemuir too, so I think they can go there and get a point. Yeah, be more than happy with that.
Definitely worth opposing. Okay, let's wrap up there with Scotland. Let's have a wee look at the Norwegian fixtures this weekend. Eliteserien and Obersligaen, no prices yet for Obersligaen, Greg, but we'll have a wee quick look at how week one went with David. And Eliteserien, David, no real surprises in the first round, I don't suppose. 4-1 win for Molde, so they kind of race to the top of the table. And champions Bodø Glimt with a fairly comfortable 2-0 win at the weekend as well.
Yeah, I think the headline was the three favourites looked very favourity. Molde battered St Godset 4-0 home. Brann went to Tromsø, who we talked about last week, been looking really poor. Went 3-0 up in the first half, 1-4-2 in the end. Bodø Glimt went to Fredrikstad, newly promoted. Fredrikstad looked not bad, but Bodø Glimt got the job done 2-0. And those three sit first, second, and third in the league already after one game week. So yeah, I think that is the headline from the first week. There was very few surprises.
Yeah, so Bodø Glimt, they host Viking this weekend. I guess we'll probably learn a wee bit about both sides in that one, David, and what we're likely to expect from them this season. Molde, they're away to HamKam. You'd expect them to get 3 points there. And Brann, they play in the Sunday evening game at home to Fredrikstad. So, as you say, those three looking very favourite-y. The treble pays 2-1 this weekend for the three of them to win again.
Yeah, I mean, Bodø Glimt and Viking have enjoyed some absolute classics in Bodø the last couple of years. 2022, 5-4 to Bodø in the league. 2023, 5-3 to Bodø in the cup, and 5-1 to Bodø in the league. So, yeah, some really high-scoring games. Viking used to go there and defend quite deep and play a low block and try and make things difficult, but then the manager kind of changed his mind about that last time at home, and they ended up beating Bodø Glimt 3-2. They kind of pressed them high, they tried to force the issue, so I think we'll be expecting a pretty good game up there this weekend with plenty of goals, I'd imagine.
Yeah, anything to report at your end, Greg, from the opening weekend in Eliteserien?
I can't believe Rosenborg won.
Well, I was going to say, yeah. I mean, that was a good start for him. Year old.
So, I mean, Rosenborg's pitch was an absolute disgrace. It was
I saw it. It was really bad. Wasn't
really,
it?
Like, really muddy. And Marcus Henriksen should have been sent off in the first half. Ole Sæther, I don't know if you've seen Ole Sæther's goal. He picked up the ball, did a little roulette, and from about 40 yards out, absolutely smashed it top bin. It's an absolute peach.
Is it one of those that commentator in week one says we've already seen goal of the season?
I don't think he went that far, but Ole Sæther after the game had a wee interview, and they said, oh, what about that goal? And he said, oh, I'm gonna I don't know if I'm allowed to say this in the podcast. He said, I'm gonna sit down with my phone in one hand and my cock in the other hand.
That's enough. Thanks very much. Brilliant. You should have said that in Norwegian, to be fair, David.
Yeah, sorry.
What a comment, though, eh?
Rosenborg,
they're away to Strømsgodset this weekend. As you say, they were well beaten last weekend by Molde. I don't know. Do you think this is the dawn of a new era for Rosenborg, or were they just a wee bit fortunate, maybe?
Yeah, they were poor. They weren't great. They didn't create a lot of chances. And then Sæther banged one in from 40 yards, which was what they needed. It didn't look like scoring, apart from that, really. I think, 2.45 is pretty fair price. Strømsgodset have not looked great in terms of scoring goals. They're lacking a wee bit up front, I think. So I think it'll be a tougher game for Rosenborg, and obviously Godset will want to get the home season off to a winning start. I would absolutely not touch Rosenborg at that price.
No, just back to your point at the start, David, on Norway, the kind of top three treble in terms of Bodø Glimt, Molde and Brann, 2-1 for that treble.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to argue with that, to be fair. I think Molde obviously looked good in their opening 4-0 victory. Brann, as we said last week, we fancied them to do a job up at Tromsø, who we said they'd struggle. So pretty grim start for them. Man sent off in a 4-2 home defeat.
Yeah.
I think Fredrikstad can feel pretty disappointing in the computer fixture generator.
Yeah, they've had
in terms
it
of
really
getting
Bodø
and Brann away next. Jesus.
Yeah.
It's probably the two toughest games they could have had. Toughest home game in terms of Bodø coming to town, and a really tough game away to Brann. So we're not going to probably learn too much about Fredrikstad yet this weekend, which is a shame. But the two new boys meet on Sunday as well, in terms of Kristiansund and Koffa.
Yeah, I mean, Kristiansund were brilliant in the first weekend. They picked up a really good win, 3-2, away at Lillestrøm. So that's given them a huge boost. I watched the Koffa game on Tuesday night against Hamcam, and I thought they looked pretty good. Created a bunch of chances. Marcus Sandberg and goes for Hamcam as man of the match. Just took I think it was about an 85th minute equaliser from Petter Nostradal for Koffa, which was a fantastic finish into the top corner. So Koffa looked decent. I have to say, Koffa look a lot better than I thought they would. Like, they've tried to play football. They look a lot better than what Yerf did and what Olesund did last year, for example. Olesund were terrible last year. I just think, it doesn't change my mind that I think they'll survive, but I think they'll be more competitive than maybe I thought.
David, I was going to ask you, no game for Tromsø or Sandefjord, no. I think it is this weekend.
What's happening there? Sandefjord are replacing their pitch with a flat pitch. Sandefjord are putting in Astro grass this winter, and it's just not quite ready. They asked for the game to get moved to Tromsø, and they didn't get that allowed, so then they had to call it off.
All right, okay. Okay, so we're obviously just into week two, David. We've highlighted that treble on the top three. Is that about it for us this weekend, do you think, in the latest season?
Yeah, I think it's tough to get a proper eye in that first week. There's a lot of kind of emotions. There's a lot of, like, new teams, new players. I think it's probably best just...
Tough games as well, isn't there? A lot of really tough games to call.
Yeah, there is a lot of picking games this weekend, I think.
Yeah. Okay.
But I think that 2-1 treble is probably the best angle of any, to be fair, across the matches this
week. Yeah, we look at the opening weekend in Obersliga as well. We talked up Vålerenga's chances. They were as short as 1-2 last weekend, and of course they drew their opening game. Newly promoted Egersund, they had a fine 4-3 win over Sandnes. Your own Levanger got their first points on the board, but I think the biggest talking point, Greg, must be the 32 corners. Yeah, 32.
I'm still not convinced. I'm not convinced.
Olesen against Stabæk.
He's counting them.
Bruce on Twitter messaged me the outcome of that match in terms of corners, and I'm still not convinced. It must be a misprint, but I think all outlets have recorded the same stats. 32 match corners. So,
I think it was like 3-2 in match corners, and then somebody's just gone, that's 32.
It's maybe dangerous attacks, and I've got them the wrong way around or something like that. I'm not sure, but quite remarkable. It's going,
it's going to absolutely skew the corner stats for the rest of the season.
It really is, and it's something to be mindful of when looking at the stats. You should always look at individual games rather than the average. But, David, go and talk about Vålerenga for us, please. We were unlucky, weren't we?
They dominated the game, lost a goal on the counter, and then Lars Jendal, the Sogndal keeper, was making his debut, and honestly made one of the best saves I've seen. Unbelievable right-handed tipped round the post.
That's enough. Stop. anymore.
And just one of those days for Vålerenga. Unfortunately, they've had a lot of them in the last year, but I think they'll be fine.
I think as well, though, it goes to show that Vålerenga at home already, match day one, going to dominate matches, probably rack up lots of corners, maybe suspect on the counter-attack, but definitely a side probably to be backing on corners, because teams are going to sit in against them, aren't they? I know it's only one match, but I wouldn't be surprised if that kind of pans out this season. That's how their home games kind of turn out. Obviously, with them winning more than losing more.
Yeah, and we touched on David, your own Levanger. Yeah. Good point for them last week. They've been relatively happy with that. They host Moss this weekend. Are you going to get along to many Levanger games this season?
I might go to that game on Saturday. Is it Saturday this week?
It's Saturday,
Saturday.
I think I might go along. My wife is in Rome, so I think I might go along on Saturday. Sano Bojadzic top scorer for Levanger last year in the second division, got himself a great start to the season with a couple of goals. And yeah, they nearly got a win. It was a relatively late equaliser for Osana in the 78th minute. And yeah, they'll definitely be hoping to get their first win of the season at home to Moss. But obviously, Moss started with a great start himself. They beat Lean Oslo 3-0 to start the season.
I don't think anyone would have thought after match day one, Moss would be
Moss, Breen and Eggerson, top three, flying.
Yeah, we'll see how long that lasts. Yeah. Again, I guess it's too early to start kind of laying down some bets in Obersligan probably, but we'll certainly be keeping an eye out for the corner count in the Olesen game at start and Stabæk game against Breen.
Yeah, and also week one, we got all eight games over 1.5 goals, so... Yeah, that's something to keep an eye on. It looks like Obersligan again is going to be a great league for goals.
Yeah,
we got nearly 4-1 for that weekend.
Yeah, that'll be the last time.
Which is a really good price. And I know what was the guys on the channel backed it, and we'll back it every week as well. We didn't get any early goal bets, unfortunately. Bet365 usually give us at the in-play goal before time, but we didn't get it this weekend, so hopefully we'll get it on Saturday. And also on this weekend as well, David, isn't there? We've got the return of Divisions 2 and 3.
I was just going to touch on it. There's a few games obviously I picked out. I talked about that the league that I was probably concentrating on most, which is the one with my Verdal in it. They go to Strømsgodset 2 on Saturday, so Strømsgodset 2 at home the day before the first team plays. Usually a good sign for, usually should be a strong team for them. And a couple of away teams, Stabæk 2 and Lillestrøm 2 on Sunday. Lillestrøm 2 travel to Trondheim. Sorry, this is Monday. Lillestrøm 2 travel to Trondheim. They play Melhus the day after the first team plays at home. So... away at Haugesund, so that Lillestrøm 2 team could be very weak. Stabæk 2 travel to Trondheim as well, so that is Oslo to Trondheim. It's an hour on the plane. It's not a game that they'll take their first teams to, and it's kind of already the start.
And if this is anyone's first season listening to Norwegian football and the podcast, trust me, by about October time, your geography in Norwegian football will be tremendous. That's a lot of stuff that Dave and I will speak about on the channel as well. We do our best to speak about it on the podcast, but ultimately all these nuggets in the lower leagues will be shared in the channel.
Yeah, because a lot of times we don't know team news right up until fairly late on.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Just before we leave Norway, Greg, congratulations to Anthony Conlon, who was winner of the Bodø/Glimt shirt in the competition that we ran last weekend.
Yeah, huge thanks to everyone who entered that competition. There was a couple of 2-0s, I think it was 3, but he was ultimately the closest in terms of the first goal time. So a big congratulations to him. I've already contacted him to let him know, and he's pretty chuffed. So we'll get that strip out to him, and I'll give him a shout on Twitter and on Telegram tonight.
Yeah, well done to him. Okay, let's have a wee recap of your bets this weekend then. Start with you, Greg.
Yeah, so in the Scottish Premiership, I'm taking a no-thrills double, which is Hibs to beat St Johnston and Aberdeen double chance away to Livingston, and that pays even money. I'm also taking Ross County corners away to Kilmarnock, so that's Ross County over 3.5 match corners at 6-5. And moving down the leagues, I'll probably have stuff from the Old Firm match on Sunday shared in the channel. And moving down the leagues into League 2, I'm taking East Fife double chance at Stenhouse Muir at 23-20. And I'm also taking Clyde to beat Stranraer at 6-5.
Okay, and David?
Yeah, I don't really have much. I had the both teams to score in the Edinburgh City game. That was 6-5. It was East Fife double chance. That was 1.95, similar to Greg. Just one on in Norway. There was Haugesund play Lillestrøm on Saturday, and it's two teams who have got new attacking managers that like to play pressing high pressing football, passing out from the back. They are 10 to 11 to score over 2.5 match goals between them, and I think that looks like a really good price between those two.
Good stuff, and we also quite like the 2-1 treble. yes. Norway. Oh, no, those three favourites. Okay, don't forget you can follow Greg on Twitter at Browning84Greg. We can also find details of how to join his private betting channel. It's usually at this point I remind you of David Weatherson's Twitter handle, but we've had a bit of a travesty this week, David, and you've lost your Twitter account.
Yeah, I was hacked. My email was hacked and everything. I lost my Twitter account. I had to change passwords and two-factor authentications for everything else. But Twitter's the only one I've not got back. So we are flying a new flag in Twitter.
And the handle is?
It's DWN Norway. I had no inspiration when it came to my name, so it's DWN Norway. That is what it is right now, and that's probably what it will be for the foreseeable.
How many followers do we have on there?
We're up to 360, which is fantastic because I had none at about 10 o'clock this morning. So yeah, thank you very much to especially to Greg Browning and Div McDonald. Gave me some very kind words on Twitter to get me some followers back.
Yeah, to be fair, those two are Twitter famous, so that helps.
Very famous.
So yeah, our target by the time we come back on the podcast next week, David, is to get you up to 1,000 at least.
I agree, four figures.
Yeah, four figures. Lovely. So please, if you're listening to the podcast, it's DW in Norway, where you can get Greg on, David on Twitter. So please look that up and give him a follow. That's us for this week's podcast. Thank you very much for listening and best of luck with the bets this weekend.
Cheers, everyone. Good luck.